Oh, hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. Bill, the producer, with me, as well as Jimmy the Bubble Boy. Are you having any luck there, Jimmy? What's going on?
I'm struggling, Greg.
He's trying to connect his headphones. We'll see if he can make that work. If not, we'll just talk about him and make comments accordingly. All right, so a lot of stuff to cover on the show today. And a brand new video release has just been posted at scubaradio.com. Another Greg the Dive Master production. Yes. I have delved into the video world, despite all the warnings, despite, you know, the threats of Greg, don't do it. What are you kidding me? What's the matter with you? But we had a little project. I figured, look, after doing the shows that we did on Sharknado and Ghost Shark, I figured, you know, look, if they can do it, I can do this. I can put something together. We have something we deal with these lobsters. And when we were down at South Florida diving headquarters in Pompano Beach a couple weeks ago, we were, hit with a lightning bolt of, inspiration to film the next big thing for sci-fi or whatever TV channel, agrees to pick this up. And we figure, look, we got a Sharknado. Let's give the sharks a break. We got Ghost Shark. Let's go something for bigger, something that divers can relate to. Lobster! It's the first day of lobster season, so I figured, why not? Let's see if we can film this and create our own, lob zombie or lobzilla. I don't know.
I like Lob Zombie.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. Good.
So that's what kind of inspired this. I didn't have a storyboard or anything to work with. We went down and we just kind of filmed all this stuff.
I am dumbfounded. After all the years you and I have spent together, I am surprised to hear that you went into something without any real plan outside of your own head.
Well, you capture magic that way. And the other way takes way too much time. So what we did, we filmed this stuff of lobsters attacking us after we cleaned them. And the adventures of Bug Boy is what came out of it. Now, Bug Boy ended up being CJ.
Yeah.
That was the idea. You know, when we went down there, Jimmy the Bubble Boy and CJ were in a competition, kind of like an underwater cage match.
I'm going to tell you, there's something about this video which makes me question how much competition there really was.
Why do you say this?
Because there's two people in this video.
Thank you, yeah. Bill.
And
thank
one
you.
Of them catches the lobster, but the other one's making it happen. The other one is right there dangling his tickle stick.
By the way,
I think is illegal.
Well, no. The video's rated PG-13.
No, it's rated R for regretful.
It could be. You're talking about Barry. Was assisting CJ slightly,
yes,
on the tickling part,
a little.
Bill,
CJ
practically took it in his hand and held it out to CJ and said, "Put your looper over this."
No,
the lobster did get his revenge later on CJ.
Oh, I did see that.
He did, yeah. Absolutely.
That was vicious.
Yeah, and there's some graphic violence in this video.
There is actually some graphic violence.
Yeah, I mean it's TVMA? I don't know. Well, it's one of those type of videos where, you know, if you're squeamish whatsoever, you'll laugh hysterically at this and probably won't care one bit. But it was a special effects, my first delve into the special effects world of movie making. And I think the evidence is pretty much on the screen. You think there, Bill?
Oh, I do believe the evidence is on the screen.
So watch at your own risk. But see, I mean, you know, this whole, you know, lob zombie idea, you
watch
know, Lobzilla.
Watch at your own risk. Ignore the threat at your own peril.
Okay. And
lob zombie. More crustacean than crustacean.
And as we say here at the show, W-A-I-A. You know what that stands for, right?
No.
We apologize in advance.
Oh. I can't believe I didn't know that.
That's code.
Yeah.
That's scuba radio code for, you know, sorry, if you watch it, it's your own fault. But anyway, it was fun to do, and it could be the precursor to a much bigger production where we, as opposed to make this up while we're shooting it, we may actually have a, you know, like a happy hour event and come up with a rough script idea.
And
actually go for this.
I will say this. I know there'll be a point during it when you're saying, I can't waste all the time of my life that this video is in length. You know, it's some people, they'll go and they'll be watching Lord of the Rings and they'll say, this movie's 3.5 hours long. I just can't handle it
anymore.
Hey,
this is a minute and a half of your life that you can sacrifice and not feel so guilty about afterwards.
Wait for the end. Wait for the end, because some of the best things happened in the last 15 seconds
of
this video.
You know, I am a I'm a movie connoisseur. I actually have a film and media certificate from my college
GoPro?
Career. Well, yeah, they gave me a sticker, but no, I got a film and media certificate. So you know, I've been watching the big movies like Citizen Kane and you know when the
don't give away the ending. It's too soon.
Yeah.
Roger Ebert gave it one thumb up. But that's rigor mortis. I apologize.
Yeah, well, thumb up, what is the question?
Too soon.
Anyway, yeah, you know, so I believe in throwing in little, you know, Easter egg type elements. And so at the end of all our videos, if you go past the credits, I've taken that Hollywood trick where you throw in a little extra, someone who's actually taking the effort to watch it all the way to the end and watch the credits. And then after the credits, there might be a little bonus
footage. In case
footage.
Of buffering, I would plan for 2 minutes. And you may want to plan 5 minutes so you can watch it a second time.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's stuff in there you might have missed.
Yeah,
in first
the
time.
Subtlety. The subtlety. In fact, the thing to look for the second time you watch it, look at the people in the background. Look at the people that are not...
what is going on over there?
A lot of movies, they'll have extras that fill the background and walk around and do things. For this particular film, Bug Boy...
This is the expression you get on extras when you don't tell them what you're doing.
Make sure you look at that.
They're looking at us like, who is this man-child?
Let alone pay them. But that just added to the whole ambiance of the whole presentation. But yeah, The Adventures of Bug Boy, the video... has now been released at scubaradio.com. Go check it out and, see what happens when lobsters attack. You know, you think they're innocent little critters that you can just go down and grab and eat. But no, what if they never could die? And even after you detailed them, they came back for revenge.
Ghost. Is it possible that Bug Boy misunderstood and just made him really shiny? He didn't detail him. He detailed him.
That's possible. Yeah. It's more of a cleaning.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Thorough.
I don't think.
No, in the video, he pretty much rips that tail right off and holds it up with pride.
Yeah, but then he does kind of lick it clean.
That's true.
Yeah.
So
there
could be some
dude.
Problems there. Yeah, but that blood kind of comes through a little bit stronger than I thought it would. Yeah. Anyway, that's what we did to waste a bunch of
time. On your phone? What is it?
What do you mean? That's high quality special effects there. This is
you're surprised
Lucasfilm
by it now.
Well, now I'm looking at it on a different device, and I'm like, wow. Yeah. But, you know, it was fun to do. And CJ was a star of this thing. Could have been just as easily. Could have been Jimmy the Bubble Boy. But no, CJ was the one who...
No, Barry could only help one person at a time.
Well, in fairness, I was sucking a lot of air, and I was already at like 15 feet looking down from above as he finds the lobster. I'm like, I can't believe this. I feel cheated.
Yeah.
Yeah, by the way, Barry had three additional lobsters.
Oh, yeah.
Aside from the one.
He was the real lobster boy.
Well, you know,
Greg doesn't want to.
He wasn't in the competition.
Yeah,
he wasn't
exactly.
in the competition.
No, it was. Yeah, it was just between you two.
He got his own boat.
I mean, Jimmy and CJ are kind of like at equal diving experience levels. So it was a good battle. This was a good match, and evidently the better Bug Boy won, at least that day. I mean, you know, another day, another.
I want a rematch.
Lobster. It could be. We can make this happen. And glad to come up with a different name. You can't be Bug Boy. You have to be Lobster something.
Bug King.
No. We'll come up with something for you.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at exploreventures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explore Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Dive into Dominica. Right now, Dominica's Fort Young Hotel is offering an exceptional summer dive package. 5 days of diving, marine park fees, daily full breakfast, transfers, $50 resort credit, and 7 nights at the luxurious Fort Young Hotel for as low as $925. From whales to waterfalls, Dominica has it all. A diver's paradise even non-divers will appreciate when staying at the Fort Young Hotel. Go to FortYoungHotel.com and dive into Dominica now. Offer ends September 30th. That's FortYoungHotel.com.
You are a diver and have the Dive Flag shirt, hat, and bumper sticker to prove it. However, you can share your love of diving and ascend to a higher level with Dive Silver. Combining exquisite sterling silver with gemstones, Dive Silver is the perfect way to share your passion for the underwater world. From mantis to mermaids and everything in between, you'll find something truly unique to express your love of diving in the extensive line of Dive Silver jewelry and at an affordable price. Go to DiveSilver.com and see for yourself. That's DiveSilver.com.
Mr. Hammond, take her down. Make your depth 150 feet, 10 degree down, Bubba.
150 feet, 10 degree down, Bubba. Aye, sir. Chief of the watch, sound the dive alarm. Pass the word along to 1MC. The main valve's tank fin.
Aye, sir. Passing the word.
I want to feel alive, knowing to drive, so I can dive. I want to dive today. I want to dive today.
That's bad.
I want to dive today. I want to dive today. Yeah.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. We're just, you know, there's a lot of splashing going on because we're wet. I mean, that's just what you do for a dive show. Hey, a couple things we want to get out there today. We not only did we release our new Bug Boy video, but we also have laid the groundwork for our first set of plans for the DEMA show, which happens in Orlando in November. And there is a Beatles theme to this year's event. They have a Beatles tribute band coming in to entertain all the divers that are going to be at this event, the largest diving event in the world. It's like the first week of November, thereabouts, DEMAshow.com. You can go there and get more info. However, you know, we are contracted to warm up the crowd every year that we've been doing. I mean, I don't know. We've been doing this God knows how many years now. But we are going to have a Beatlesque type theme for the opening of the show this year.
Is Bill going to be the walrus?
The walrus is dead.
I'm going to cuckoo your chew.
But he could be.
I am the Eggman.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're the Eggman. Yeah, the walrus is dead, right? I don't know.
No, Paul is dead.
Oh, okay. One of those.
Actually, George is dead.
Yeah, it's
wow,
true.
Well.
Yeah, George and
Paul's alive.
Yeah.
Ringo wishes he was.
But so what we're doing at the front of the show to warm up the crowd this year is to present a everything that you would see in an octopus's garden.
Cool.
So we're going to dive into the Sergeant Pepper era of the Beatles. I'm going to be, I guess I'll be Sergeant Pepper. I'm just calling it.
I will be the one and only Billy Shears.
Okay, you can do that. And Jimmy the Bubble Boy will be the Yellow Submarine. No?
Billy comes alive.
A Day in the Life. That's what I'll be.
That's not a character. That's a song.
Right.
You got to be. You could be an octopus, a yellow submarine. We're going to have mermaids, of course.
Wait a second. So are we doing Sergeant Pepper or are we doing Yellow Submarine?
A little bit of whatever. No, we're going to do the Beatles with all the
blue
color.
I'll be a blue meanie. Yes.
Or the Fool on the Hill.
Well,
actually, that's appropriate.
We can all play that role.
Yeah.
However, yeah. So anyway, we got some fun things in store for the Dima show this year. I mean, that whole backdrop will lend itself to some fun costuming and
cool.
And shtick. We got liveaboard trips to give away and all kinds of cool stuff. You know, there's even, you know, we're going to have the mermaids because you'd see that in Octopus's Garden. But I was thinking, what other Beatlesque thing could we tap in with our mermaids? And then it hit me. I was like, hey, I was talking to Mermaid Faith. We got Yoko Ono.
Oh, that's right.
And then she said, Greg, I'm Chinese. I'm like, no!
And it turns out they don't all look alike. Just say because she's of Asian heritage that she could be Yoko Ono.
I didn't say that. I just said she has the look and she could play that role.
I don't think she looks anything like Yoko Ono.
Well, she doesn't.
Faith is attractive.
Well, she does.
That's true.
She has black hair, so...
Much shorter black hair.
Bill, you can be Linda McCartney.
She cut her hair, didn't she?
She cut her hair, donated it to Locks of Love, I think. Cut her hair a lot.
Where'd you donate yours, Bill?
I heard about this. I didn't see the pictures. What, you saw it on Facebook or something?
I only saw the before pictures. I have not seen any after pictures. Faith, please, send me some pictures.
All right.
No, don't do that. Tell me where I can find pictures, because my wife finds that a woman is sending me pictures which is going to go badly, so let's not do that.
And the wife goes, who is that? Yoko Ono. Anyway, little shout out to Mermaid Faith. She's going to try to make an attempt to come out to Orlando and join us to assist the crew. But we should have a full, full pot of mermaids and all kinds of craziness for this year's Dima show. And we're giving away a ton of stuff, as always. So if you come to the show, make sure you show up early and join us for the opening ceremonies. As we give away liveaboard trips from Explore Ventures and all kinds of extra stuff. And then we're going to close the show each day in the Bahamas Isle for a Junkanoo party.
Yay.
And Bill, I will tell you this, as far as our plan for the Bahamas, last year we did this for the first time. And we had the mermaids, and they wanted the girls to dress up as Junkanoo girls, which is, if you're not familiar with Junkanoo, what they do in the Bahamas and, you know, it's like Mardi Gras and Rio and Brazil, that kind of look where they have a lot of feathers and the masks, you know, like you'd see in Mardi Gras. But the one complaint we had last year.
The feathers with the mask, I think, is Carnival, and that's Rio. But go on.
Right. Well, I'm just trying to give people an idea if they're not familiar with Junkanoo. There's more feathers on the back of them, like a big wingspan type. You know, it's almost like an Indian thing.
Across Carnival.
Well, like it's a combination of
or
all
a Vegas
of these.
Show.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. The one complaint we had last year about the girls that dressed up as Junkanoo girls was that they had too much clothes. They had too many clothes on. So.
Yeah, we've never gotten that complaint before.
I know. I was like, are you kidding me? So I've been asked to see if we could outfit the girls in something more appropriate for Junkanoo.
I won't complain again. Sure.
And just so we're clear. Less appropriate, but more appropriate for Junkanoo.
Right.
Okay.
So, you know, we will have to see how that works. I mean, when I told him about the Beatles theme and that, you know, that whole thing where, you know, we're going to be groovy, Sergeant Pepper, free love, you got to be in, and then, you know, they didn't go for the third part.
I appreciate you. You're trying to sneak that one
yeah,
in.
Yeah, free love. I see Mr. Subliminal Messages there.
Yeah, so I don't know if they're going to go for the whole Junkanoo thing, but we'll see. It could be an interesting process that we'll cover here on the show, but it'll be fun for sure. So we open the show, we close the show each day. You know, there in the Bahamas Isle. If you're coming to the DEMA show, if you're a dive master and above, you really should come. This is the biggest diving event in the world, and it's just a lot of fun to just hang out with all the divers and have a common bond of loving the underwater world and, you know, making a buck or two, hopefully doing it as some kind of career path choice, whether it's part-time or full-time. All right, so that's first week of November. Now, a couple other things. Coming up today, we are planning to check in with Dan Orr from Reef Safe. Also, Pete from Scuba Board was down there last week for the coral spawning that we were talking to Captain Slate about with last week. Did you see any of the videos, by the way, after last week about that?
Yes.
Of the coral spawning?
Yes.
I know. I was a little creeped out by it. Maybe it was just me, but... I don't know. I feel like a voyeur watching this stuff. But we'll get into that and much more coming up on today's big show. Stay close.
What's bad about being a voyeur?
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
This one get away. The Sanctuary at Manatee Bay will offer only eight.
And welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. A little shout out to Dan and Betty Orr from Divers Alert Network, actually formerly with Divers Alert Network. They had their last day yesterday.
Oh, congratulations to them.
They have retired from Dan, and next weekend they're going to be in the Bahamas. Actually, I think they leave tomorrow. And they're doing a little thing with friends over at Sunset House in Grand Cayman. We're going to check in with them, hopefully live on the air next week. But our hats off to them. 23 years, Dan Orr has been at in that head position there at Divers Alert Network and has done some great work. And is just an awesome, awesome guy. So we wish them the best in their new endeavors. And, of course, like I said, we'll check in with them next week. Also, hey, look, time is running out. If you want to take advantage of that Dive into Dominica special, it is going to end, I believe it's the end of September, and you have got to get to FortYoungHotel.com and book this because they are running a special right now that is unbelievable as far as value and diving is concerned there on the Nature Island, Dominica. And the diving there will blow your mind. It is, I think, probably the best diving I have ever experienced in the Caribbean. And it'll give a lot of places in the Pacific a run for their money as well. I mean, it is just beautiful. The island itself has volcanoes and is the most volcanic island in the world, believe it or not. And that's in the Caribbean. So check it out, Fort Young Hotel. It's a hotel that actually was a fort back in the 1700s or 1600s. I don't know. Long time ago. It was a real fort, and it's been transformed into a world-class
and Greg,
hotel. Real nice.
Don't forget about the volcanic hot tubs.
Yes, you got hot tubs because of all that volcanic activity. You can go up there and take a steam bath, a sauna-type thing in the rainforest, go swim their river. They got all kinds of freshwater rivers. It's just a beautiful place, topside as well as underwater. So FortYoungHotel.com, book it. You'll thank me later. Coming up, we got a Dan tip and much, much more coming up. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Scuba.
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Scuba Radio, Divers Consumer Tip number 589. For the last time, tell your wife that sailfish are not a bargain.
Charge!
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the Rio Dan Good Diving Safety Tip. And in the studio, we have Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Divers Alert Network. We're going to the dark side today, right, Nick?
We are indeed, Greg. I thought we'd talk about some night diving tips.
Night diving is pretty cool.
There's little else like it. It never ceases to amaze me how a sight you know intimately by day can totally transform at night.
And the critters that come out. I always wonder where they hide when the sun's out.
I know. They're probably hiding from divers like us.
Well, they're missing out. Good thing we're not afraid of the dark, right? I mean, night diving is a great way to dive, but like so many other types of diving, it does have special considerations that come with it, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
So why don't we start with gear? Surely there's something to consider there.
Well, for the most part, you'll need the same gear you use during the day, but if you're expecting to be colder after the sun goes down, you'll want to adjust your exposure protection accordingly. And of course, there's one piece of gear you'll want to add.
Unless you can see in the dark.
Which most of us can't. So plan to take some lights.
Wait, lights as in plural?
Lights as in plural. For starters, most divers attach a signal light to their tank or regulator yoke. This helps other divers to see and identify them underwater. Most folks use either a tank light or chem light stick for this purpose.
Is there a big difference between the two?
Not really. It's just that chemical light stick is a single-use item, whereas the battery-powered light you can use over and over again.
How about marker lights?
Marker lights, or strobe lights, are usually used to mark key navigation points like anchor lines or reference lines, or to mark entry and exit points. If you're diving with a charter operation or participating in a lead dive, the operation or dive leader usually sets these.
How about the dive lights each diver carries?
Each diver should have at least two dive lights with him. One to use as a primary, and one to have as a backup in case, well, the primary should fail.
What kind of dive light should you use?
Like every other piece of gear, there are multiple options available. Every diver will have a preference, and it's important to find the ones that work for you.
How about head-mounted versus handheld?
Again, that's a matter of preference, but one advantage the handheld light has is that they offer a great versatility in terms of positioning, and they're easy to control. This can be beneficial if you're new to night diving.
So aside from gear, what other safety considerations do you have to take into account when night diving?
I think orientation is the biggest one, but that covers a lot of ground. It's common practice not to dive a sight for the first time at night because even the most familiar sight will look different after sundown. Take extra time and care to orient yourself. Take note of marker lights so you know in which direction you're swimming from relative to your reference point. You may even take a compass heading so you have a general direction in case you get disoriented.
How about buoyancy control?
Even that's different at night, and you need to take special care to keep track of it. It's much easier to become disoriented at night because your field of vision is so much more limited. You have no peripheral vision. It's easy to lose track of your depth or where you are in relation to things like reefs, wrecks, and other things underwater, or even the surface. Keep an eye on your depth and where you are in relation to your surroundings.
Is there any particular etiquette to observe when night diving?
Yeah, I'd say that falls into two general areas, the first of which pertains to your dive light.
Rule number one, don't blind your buddy.
Absolutely. None of us can see very well when we have light shine directly in our eyes on land, and that's no different underwater.
It's amazing what a natural tendency it is to shine your light in someone's face, though.
Sure it is. A lot of your communication relies on facial expressions and reactions. But learning to use your light as a source and form of communication underwater is all part of learning to night dive.
How do you mean?
Well, for example, you can use your light to convey underwater signals like okay, or to get someone's attention, or to make a sign of distress. Similarly, when you get your buddy's attention and you want to follow up with a hand signal, shine your light down and convey the signal in the light's beam. It'll be easy to see, and your buddy will be able to see it.
You can also use your light if you get lost or separated, can't you?
You sure can. Sometimes, if you get separated from your buddy or group, it's hard to see them because of your own light. If that happens, hold your light against you Don't turn it off, because it'll dim the light enough to allow you to see other lights in the water.
Does that really work?
It sure does.
Voice of experience.
Yep.
So what's the second area of etiquette?
Well, that one really pertains to the creatures you'll encounter. There are some truly amazing creatures that come out at night. But remember that unlike the creatures you see during the day, the natural light level is darkness. Your light is not natural. Try not to spook them too much.
And I'd say be careful not to blind them either.
Exactly. Remember that just as you are blinded when the light is shined in your eyes, so too are they. And in some cases, blinding them with a light or camera strobe can leave them vulnerable. So be aware and careful of that.
And this is where your buoyancy tip comes in again, because there's a lot of creatures that come out at night, aren't there?
You're absolutely right. And that makes bumping against a reef especially hazardous at night, both to you and the nocturnal creatures that inhabit it.
There's a lot to learn about night diving.
There is a lot to learn. And while we've covered some basic tips, it's definitely worth your time to take a specialty class to learn more about it. It's a fascinating and fantastic way to dive, but it's important to know what you're doing and how to do it right.
The world you come to know underwater can become a whole new world at night. But before you jump in to explore it, learn about the special considerations you need to know to stay safe. We know you're not afraid of the dark. Just make sure you know how to traverse it. Do that, and you're guaranteed damn good diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
All right, Crockett is dialed up, 888-88-SCUBA. You are on Scuba Radio. There, buddy, how are you? Welcome.
Hey, I'm doing pretty good, man. How you doing?
I'm great. What's up, man? What do you got today?
Oh,
what's going on?
I was remembering you a couple months ago. You were down in Catalina?
Yes. Catalina, yeah. Island. Yeah, we didn't do any diving, but we got to hang out on the island for a day. And I was like, man, I got to go out there and do some diving. Even though the water's cold, it was clear and inviting.
Water was clear when I was there. I was there just a few months ago, and it was probably about 70, 80-foot visibility. And
nice.
Of course, I had my dry suit on, so I was toasty warm. But on one of the dives, we ran across a big black grouper, an octo, and a green moray, plus all the other fish swimming around us. So it was a really cool dive.
Yeah, so you would recommend it. Even though I'm a warm water wuss, I need to go to Catalina Island and actually jump in the water and take a look around. Is that what you're trying to get across here, Crockett, or what?
Exactly. You want to go probably, if you can swing it around August or September time frame, right about right now, because the water's in the low 70s, which is pretty warm for there.
Yeah, well, it's low 70s, now, but would you hit a thermal climb, though? Even if it's coming in at 72, 73, which I've done that at a 3
right,
mil
right.
before.
Yeah, there was, when I was there, it was earlier in the year, and it was in the low 60s, and we hit a thermal climb probably about 70, 80 feet down.
Okay, and then that would drop it down to what, you say? What do you think?
It would drop it down into, this time of the year, it would probably drop it down into the mid to upper 60s, about 5 degrees cooler.
I'm trying to think. Okay, 3 mil on the surface. Do I have to go? Can I actually survive that?
If I want to do 5 mil for you.
Well, I'd have to do a 5 mil for sure. I'm just debating whether I could do this without a dry suit. You know what? I'll do my heated rash guard under it, and then I think I could pull that off. All right, but the time of year is right now, September, October time frame, Catalina Island. For warm water wusses.
That's when the visibility gets up to about 100 feet.
Really? So it has a tendency, to clear up, just like it does in the Caribbean, after the summer and the winds kind of lay down a little bit, and so it kind of keeps the sediment from stirring up. Is that the same type of scenario there in Catalina Island, or what, you think?
Yeah, it's basically the same scenario. The main reason it clears up is the plankton drops down, so it's a lot clearer.
Okay, and then we could swim amongst the seals, the Garibaldi, and the kelp, right?
Yep.
Yeah, you know what? He might have just sold me, Bill. What do you think? Would you go for that? What do you think? We're both warm water wusses.
I am perfectly okay with you going.
You wouldn't do that?
I mean, I would like to go at some point in time. I'd like to get to Dominica first, since it's so much closer.
I got to tell you, though, when we were there at Catalina Island around the scuba show in June, I was shocked with how clear the water was. It was as clear as what you would see in Dominica. I mean, the visibility just, you know, looking out into the bay, where typically you would look down into the bay and you'd see, you know, just dirty water. It was crystal clear. You could see straight down off the side of a boat or off of a dock, and you could see the Garibaldi swimming around down there. The only thing that kept me from doing it is realizing it was like 60 degrees in the water there.
Once the radiation from Fukushima gets here, Greg, it should be pretty clear.
Good point. And plus, those Garibaldi will probably sport a third eyeball.
That's right, and the water will be warmer.
True.
And everything will glow.
Yes.
Great viz.
Yeah, we won't even need a video light.
Scuba Radio.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
It's ocean madness, all right. Sailors call it aqua dementia. The deep down crazies, the wet willies, the screaming moist.
You're an ocean. Settle down, what's a commotion? I'm an island, but you're an ocean. It's a stormy sea of love and emotion. You got me suspended motionless in time.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, along with Bill the Producer, Jimmy the Bubble Boy, and on the phone now, we have Dan from Tropical Seas, the folks that make reef-safe sun care products. Dan, how are you, buddy? Welcome. Long time no chat.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good, good. So, you know, last week I was talking a little bit about your sun care products and how it was important for people like me to use them and everybody in the audience to lather up before they head out for their dive for the day, because otherwise you're going to have little episodes of time that are going to keep you out of the water because that goofy little thing called skin cancer, or as in my case, it was like pre-skin cancer. You still got to get it cut out, and they say you got to stay out of the water for a couple weeks. And it's extremely annoying and not necessary if you lather up accordingly with ReefSafe. I would assume you back me up on that, right?
Oh, absolutely. Just don't miss any spots and avoid sunburn.
Yes, you know, it's just not worth the aggravation. And the thing about ReefSafe, it's biodegradable. It won't harm the reef like a lot of other sun care products out there. on the shelves that do. So look for ReefSafe, tropicalseas.com, or ask for it at a local dive retailer near you. And you guys just got some, I don't know, testimonials, endorsement-type things. Jean-Michel, is that true? What's going on with that? What happened with Jean-Michel? How did he get involved or find out about what you were doing?
We got a packet from Ocean Future Society in the mail about ReefSafe, and he wanted his head scientist to check out ReefSafe, and so we sent him some samples of product along with copies of our test data. And we got a real nice letter confirming what we already knew, that ReefSafe is biodegradable in less than 90 days in the ocean and safe and non-toxic to the inhabitants.
That's excellent.
So a real nice letter for me.
Yeah. Well, that's great. So Ocean Future Society, who, Jean-Michel is the guy who heads that up. That's great stuff. You know, and you know, not only is it biodegradable, but it works. And that's the bottom line. You got to wear this stuff anyways. You might as well use some stuff that's going to, you know, break down and not harm the reef, because that's becoming a bigger and bigger problem as we find out all the chemicals and stuff in your typical oily base type, you know, sun care product. Is that right, Dan, or what?
Exactly. That and the zinc that people think is all natural isn't, and it is. It's hazardous to all aquatic environments.
Yeah, zinc, huh?
But don't wear zinc. Yeah, don't wear the zinc.
Hmm.
Bad for the ocean and its inhabitants.
You know, when that zinc goofy stuff on their noses, they kind of look retarded that way, if you ask me anyway. I think it kind of look goofy.
Right.
So, ReefSafe is the sun care product that you should pick up. Now, you guys make a few other things, too, and I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, and I got to thank you for the, for the jellyfish sting remedy that you guys put out. What's that called again? Is there actually just a name for it, or is it just jellyfish sting relief or something? What is that?
You're close. It's Sting Cooler.
Sting Cooler, right. I just don't have it here in front of me. But it's made by Tropical Seas. And my daughter, who got hit by jellyfish on her second checkout dive, she saw me get this in the mail. You were nice enough to send me a kit of this. And she looked at it, and she goes, What are you doing? Why didn't you get this before? She's like, well, I didn't need it before. And it's like, but then I saw what happened to you. I was like, hey, wait a minute. I ought to be more prepared. And, of course, I got that look, that teenager look, like, yeah, Dad, thanks a lot, loser. You know, that kind of thing.
So this is a great product, and it's great that you've chosen the name Sting Cooler, because that actually was my job. I traveled around with the police for a while, and when they shot videos...
You're official mister.
Well, not exactly. he did that tantric sex thing, so I just had to rub up against him just to bring him back down. I was the Sting Cooler. And it was... I'm embarrassed about that part
stinker.
Of my career.
You're the stinkler.
The wow. Exact opposite of a fluffer.
Okay. All right. Well, Dan, I apologize for that, but it wouldn't be the first time.
ReefSafe okay. Sting Cooler sounds like a much better product
yes.
than what I had.
But you can find the whole line of ReefSafe products, whether it's the Sting Cooler for jellyfish, which obviously are we're in the height of jellyfish season, especially off the coast of Florida right now. So you need to have something just in case those critters show up. You can get them all there at tropicalseas.com. Right, Dan? That's all they got to do.
That's it.
That's it. All right, Dan. You got it. And congratulations on the endorsement there for Jean-Michel. That's good stuff, and keep up the good work. Okay, my friend?
Thank you very much.
There you go. Dan from Tropical Seas, the makers of ReefSafe sun care products. Get it. It's good stuff for sure.
Now, we have these pre-show meetings every week. You can tell, because this show runs like clockwork.
Did we have one today?
Yeah, we did.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I missed it again.
Yeah, during the pre-show meeting, he hands out information about what we're going to talk about. And quite honestly, I was confused because on the part about Dan Knorr, it said that he had a John Mitchell endorsement, which I think he's like a hairdressing guy.
Or Joni Mitchell.
Well, no, have you seen his
John
do?
Mitchell.
Have you seen Dan's do?
No, you're thinking of Paul Mitchell.
Paul Mitchell, John's brother.
Oh.
Yeah.
But this is Jean-Michel.
Yeah, it's Jean-Michel.
Which is a little different.
Well,
than,
but
than
he has
John Mitchell.
But he does have nice hair too.
You know what? He does have
so,
very good hair.
You know, I'm sure he has one of those endorsements to boot. All right, coming up in hour two, we're going to check in with our friends Charlene and Sean, who just got back from a run down through, I don't know, West Palm Beach all the way down to Key West, do some diving down there. Big Wave Dave's going to join us, and Pete from Scuba Board. That's all coming up in hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Stay close.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.